o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch. No Wildy. Well, kind of was a Wildy today. Joined on the phone. No Tausch. He's for sure not here. Jesse Nelson, Jim Rutledge, your cousin subs of the day, along with producer Riley Yauch, in for the guys. They'll be back on Monday, heading into the Packers and Badgers bye week. Nice weekend to kind of take off. Although there are still some good games on the docket. We're going to hear about those in just a moment. Your way into the show, 844-770-3776, the ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line, where we've been asking for thoughts on the Chicago Bears, the jerseys, random jerseys that you have in your closet in honor of Riley Yauch wearing a baby blue Texas Rangers Shinsu Chu jersey today, which is quite the move for Riley Yauch. Our producer in the Everlight Solar Studio here at ESPN Madison. All right, no Packers, no Badgers game this weekend. We have talked about the Bears-Patriots and what's actually a pretty significant game for the Green Bay Packers, because if the Bears lose, they might fire Matt Eberflus. Many expecting they would fire Matt Eberflus. You would say that, right, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, except for the fact the Bears have never done it. Like, that's as honestly, as a Bears fan, you're like, the Bears have never fired a coach midseason. I doubt it starts now, unless the team goes completely, like, anarchy.
Could it also be, like, a Joe Barry situation last year after the Buccaneers game, where it's like, we're not going to fire you, but we all know, like, this is going to officially end this thing right now?
I think Washington may have ended it for him.
Already?
Okay. Yeah, you're a defensive-minded coach, and you lose on the Hail Mary, which, they kept Washington in check. Washington did not move the ball much. Some of Jaden Daniels, most of his yards to the air came on two big plays, the Hail Mary and one other big passing play. Yeah. But Arizona, like, the hangover from that game, the Bears looked unprepared and the defense was just gashed by Arizona. So that, to me, like, that's why this game is on the line, because if this team is distracted and goes in the tank after that Hail Mary, then that's on the coach.
So let's go ahead and get to the Bears play at noon. They will not be featured in this because we already know Jim's going to watch that one. But what else is going on the football weekend with no Packers and no Badgers? It is time now for Riley Yauch to lead us in this week's weekend preview.
Alrighty, guys, as mentioned, no Packers, no Badgers this weekend. However, there are still a few good games. So I want to know, which one are you guys going to be watching? Which one are you going to ignore? Who cares? Starting in college football, Michigan at number 8, Indiana, 2:30 p.m. Saturday on CBS.
Undefeated Indiana.
Yeah, first top 10 team. I don't know what I was going with that. Something about the college football
nice.
Playoff rankings.
Nailed it.
You could have said the first time Indiana's been a top 10 team. Yeah, probably
first time
true.
They've been 9-0 in history. I actually had a few avenues there, and I didn't go any of them. Anyways, sticking in college football, number 11, Alabama at number 15, LSU. Primetime matchup on ABC and ESPN Radio, 6:30 p.m. Moving on to the NFL, Giants versus the Panthers, 8:30 a.m. Is that the Germany game?
Jim's eyes couldn't have rolled further back in his head right now.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, that's the Germany game.
The Germany game on NFL Network.
Our friend Joe Thomas is over there. If you want to see our friend Joe, we can support him and watch that game on the NFL Network, Jim.
Oh, I do like Joe, but I'm not watching that game.
Fair enough. I don't think I will be either. Eagles at Cowboys, 3:25 on Sunday on CBS. That could be good. A little NFC East matchup there. And finally, the Lions at the Houston Texans, Sunday Night Football on NBC. Which one of those games are you guys going to be watching? And we already know which one Jim is out on. That would be the Giants and Panthers in Germany.
I literally got tired just thinking about that game.
Yeah.
Because it's early. Like, that game is 100% sleep game.
Yep.
Like, don't even get out of bed. Like, kind of flip the TV on. Oh, all right. And then fall back asleep.
It's a nice, like, wake up early before the sun is up. And then, like, mid-morning, like, rest, nap, close the eyes while you got Panthers and Giants on in the background. Might be a good reason to tune into the game, actually.
Yeah, background
like,
noise,
it's
sure.
It's like golf on TV.
Yeah.
You know, if you need a nap.
Your version of golf this weekend. Or
fire up the golf match.
Sunday afternoon baseball in May is turn on Giants and Panthers.
Yeah. It's like white noise for sports fans.
Exactly. I've done that before with college football. Like last night, I just turned on Appalachian State, Coastal Carolina. Just give it a glance every now and again while I'm working on stuff. It was great.
Absolutely. So you want to know which one of those I'm watching?
Which one are you in
which
on,
one of
yeah.
those?
I would be, I guess, Michigan, Indiana. I'm always curious what Michigan will be unless with Jim Harbaugh gone. But I also want to see, there's been a lot of Badger fans, and this is a bad take, but a lot of Badger fans are saying, like, oh, we'd be good too if we had Indiana's record. Maybe last year. Last year was the year to have that easy schedule, and they didn't do it. So, like, you can't this year say it. You could have done it last year. You could have been Indiana last year because you had an easy schedule, and you could have taken advantage of it, won a bunch of games, and you didn't. So I can't say you would have done that this year. But I am curious what exactly Indiana is and then also what Michigan is. So this will be a good test for both.
We were talking yesterday on this show about how much fun this college football season has been with the 12-team playoff and the entertainment value with some of these games like Alabama, LSU. In previous years, this game would not be as significant for postseason ramifications as it is right now, with these teams having two losses. But now, this is a huge game for playoff positioning. So Alabama, LSU still has ramifications like it typically has. It's always a huge game on the college football schedule every year in primetime. And I'm very excited to watch that one on Saturday night or listen to it on my way home from Badger Volleyball on ESPN Radio. Michigan, Indiana, fun college football slate tomorrow. Not fun Florida State, Notre Dame in primetime. I don't know how that one ended up there. You got to flex that one out, NBC.
That one definitely, they put that there at the beginning of the season. They're
Seemed like a good idea.
Maybe two playoff contenders going at it. Not the case. I know I'll be looking forward to Alabama, LSU for sure because the loser's done. They're going to be out of the playoff contention. And LSU, they're bringing back the live Mike the Tiger for the pregame. So there's going to be a live Tiger on the sideline.
Right,
I think it's a one-game thing.
That's a fun reason to tune in.
Exactly. See, Mike the Tiger.
Yeah, I'm excited for Alabama, LSU. And then Lions-Texans Sunday night, I feel like. I got some, you know, because the Packers aren't playing, you can kind of get out and do your thing on Sunday. Unlike Jim, I might actually go out in the kayak if it's nice on Sunday instead of sending the family out so I can watch NFL Red Zone or whatever else is going on. But Sunday night, get home. Lions-Texans going to be a great matchup on Sunday Night Football to kind of close out a free weekend of football without the emotional investment of the Badgers and Packers and see if the Lions can do this thing again in primetime on the road. Fun matchup for two up-and-coming teams. I'm excited to watch that game.
I don't disagree. It'll be a good one. Yeah, absolutely.
Giants-Panthers, Eagles-Cowboys, no thanks.
No.
I'm good. That is your weekend preview on Wilde and Tausch. Looking ahead to the football weekend with no Packers and Badgers as we head into the bye week. No Wilde and Tausch today either. It's Jesse Nelson and Jim Rutledge. But if Tausch were here, you know that even though the Packers and Badgers are not playing, he would still tell you about Prize Picks, the best place to get real money sports action with over 10 million members and billions, with a B, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. Prize Picks, the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, so your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half, doesn't return, Prize Picks, boom, keep your lineup live. With Prize Picks, they put their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When your picks hit, you can get your money in as quick as 15 minutes. And you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Really fun. I love doing this all the time. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. Usually Tausch and Jason do a whole thing back and forth with that.
Yeah.
If didn't give you a heads up. So.
Sorry. Run your game.
There you go.
That's your.
There. Okay. That's enough. Prize Picks. It's great. You should sign up. Code WI, $50 instant match, boom. Coming up next, Jim Rutledge will unveil his tiers of NFC teams, long awaited. Will it have our fans in tears of anger? Is that pretty good?
It's all right. It's okay. I'll allow it.
We'll do it next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Wilde and Tausch, no Wilde nor Tausch, Jesse Nelson of Wilde and Tausch, I guess, Jim Rutledge of Jim, Matt, and Molly, weekday afternoons 4 to 6 on ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, Riley Yauch of Zimbraconda's Prep Mania tonight, DC Everest Wanakee on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel with you for the morning as we head into the Packers and Badgers bye weekend. 844-770-3776 is the ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line, and many of you may want to have that number ready to share your feedback as Jim Rutledge of Jim, Matt, and Molly prepares to unveil his mid-season tiers of NFC teams. There are 16 of them, Jim, not tiers, teams. Let's see how you rank the teams based on the scale of who is on what tier as we prepare for the second half of the season and likely postseason runs. Riley, is there any chance that you got in here early today and made any special music that we might be able to play while Jim unveils these rankings?
There it is.
Very nice.
First of all, Robert says, just to troll Bears fans, he has a Jim McMahon Packers jersey. Well, Robert, Jim McMahon has as many Super Bowls as one person as Favre and Aaron Rodgers do combined. And Jimmy Mack is a legend. He wore a Bears jersey to the White House. So, you've thanks just, for the support.
You've just had that one holstered waiting for everyone to chime in with, didn't you?
It's there. He's trying to troll. Well, don't troll a troll. I'll throw it right back at you. Jimmy Mack, bigger winner than Rodgers and Favre combined. All right.
Hot start as we get set for Jim Rutledge's tiers of NFC teams. You're
all
starting
right.
strong.
Tier one, NFC teams. Detroit. That's it. I'm sorry. I tried to maybe finagle someone in there. And here's the thing, Packer fans. The Packers were not going to be in my top tier if I tried to make a top three. Instead, I said I'm going to lump them all together. It is Detroit head and shoulders above everyone else. They were in the NFC Championship game last year. They got better. They've learned how to win. They have a quarterback who's already been to a Super Bowl. They are the best team. They went to Green Bay and beat the hell out of your team. They're beating everyone up. And they are the team to beat. As of today, they are the unquestioned best team in the NFC. And I think if you were betting on it, you'd bet on Lions, Chiefs, Super Bowl.
No objections.
All right. Tier two. And this is where it's kind of a hodgepodge. I don't know what you want to call these teams. I think all these teams have a chance to get to the NFC Championship game to play against Detroit. I guess that's how I'd break it out. Washington. In no particular order here. Washington, Philly, Green Bay, Atlanta, 49ers, and I guess in order, I have Minnesota at the bottom here. I don't know what to make of them, but they have the right...
So they're tier like 2.5.
Yes, because they have the right amount of wins. They've beaten the Packers at Lambeau Field.
Yep,
they now it's a tough one. The Packers have to go on the road to beat both Detroit and Minnesota. Those are going to be tough for them. So like that's where they have the right sort of metrics to be there, but I don't fully believe in them. I think they're in the tier below, but that's my tier two. Washington, Philly, Green Bay, Atlanta, Minnesota, and the 49ers.
I was wondering if you would put the Packers in the same tier as some of those other teams. It seems like kind of a large tier, honestly.
I know, but like to me, otherwise I could have... I mean, I initially had Detroit, Washington, Philly tier one, and then Green Bay and everyone on tier two. But I think, you know what? I think Detroit earns its own tier. And all these teams are just playing for the opportunity, and I think they all can play Detroit and maybe beat Detroit in Detroit. But if I'm betting it right now, Detroit's playing in the NFC Championship game, and they're playing that game in Detroit.
Do you think Washington sustains this for the second half of the season? Like, it did take a Hail Mary for them to beat your Bears.
Yes, and they didn't look great their last game, and Cliff Kingsbury has a track record of falling off after about 8-9 games. Teams figure out his offense, and I like Jaden Daniels, but he still does not seem like a quarterback that even is on like a Jordan Love tier. His legs are different. I mean, again, we see Lamar and like his ability to run. I hope I'm wrong in this because I'm not rooting for injury. I do think there's a Jaden Daniels injury that could derail this team. But Dan Quinn is a great defensive coach, unquestioned. And Cliff Kingsbury, maybe they could piece it together. I wouldn't bet on him. I would go with Philly. I've loved what they've done with their coaching staff, and it seems like they're starting to gel a little bit, and they have that win over Green Bay. 49ers, McCaffrey's back. Brock Purdy may be a system QB, but his system and the players around him are pretty dang good. So, like, who cares? If that's the system, he's still in it. So I would believe in the 49ers. They obviously constantly beat the Packers in the playoffs. Atlanta, they kind of got that old Detroit stink to them where it's like they never do it all the way. But
let me ask you this, of these tier two teams, if I'll say it in the frame of the Packers, but you can say it for any team. If you had to go on the road in the playoffs and play either Washington, Philly, or Atlanta, who scares you the most of those three to go on the road and play in a postseason game?
I would say Philly because Daniels is such like a wild card. Like he could be, yes, it's a young game, but he could just like slice you up Michael Vick style.
Yeah.
When Michael Vick came to Lambeau Field and ran all over the Packers and beat Brett Favre up at Lambeau Field in the playoffs. So like it could be one of those things.
So you just like the consistency of Philadelphia. You think that they're...
I think Philly is not, obviously they already played him once. And so, like, I think the team that would be the toughest for the Packers to go on the road to play out of that group would be Washington.
I actually have a bad feeling about Atlanta. I think Atlanta's going to get hot for the playoffs. Like, I think they've figured it out after kind of a slow start with Kirk Cousins. And he's getting, you know, not many people thought he was actually going to be even ready to play at the start of the season returning from that injury. He's getting healthier and better and more in line with that new look offense this year with him at the helm. Like, I am worried that Atlanta is actually going to be a really good team. And just based on seeding, and if the Lions win the NFC North, the Packers have to go on the road in the first round. I'm kind of scared of like a 5-4 or a 6-3 matchup with Atlanta. I just feel like they're a better team than their record will indicate at the end of the season.
Well, and their head coach, their defense is a little bit suspect, but they have a defensive-minded head coach, so I still think that defense will continue to get better and at least play disciplined. And then Zach Robinson is their offensive coordinator. He's a guy that he's obviously doing really well, and so and he runs the similar offense that the Packers run. So that's a good coaching staff and good players.
I might just have postseason nightmares of the Packers' last trip to Atlanta with Ladarius Gunter on Julio Jones.
And there has been a history in the playoffs of former Bears who can't have success with the Bears doing well against the Packers, whether it's Robbie Gould or David Montgomery or Darnell Mooney this time. And that team actually is like the Bears South because Ryan Poles is on that. And so there's a lot of like the second or third player in the depth chart are former Bears.
Nice.
Yeah, so all the guys that didn't make it with Poles.
So we got through Tier 2, which are what you expect to be the rest of the playoff field.
Those are the teams that I think have the opportunity. It's not even playoff field. Those are the teams most likely to face Detroit in Detroit for the NFC Championship.
Okay. So then who's in Tier 3?
These are the teams that got a shot at the playoffs, but I wouldn't bet on it. That is Arizona. That is the Rams. That is Chicago. That is Tampa. And that is Seattle.
Okay, not a bad tier.
So it's like I wouldn't bet on it.
I would actually put Seattle lower. I have been down on Seattle since day one this year. I think they're frauds.
Yeah, I like their coach, McDaniel. I think, again, a defensive-minded coach, that floor is going to be high enough. Because my last one is just like, who cares? Like, you're done. You're cooked.
So, and who's
like,
in that one?
I'm not putting Seattle in the you're fully cooked
one. Oh, I put them in the cooked, they're done. Like the lobsters are thrown around at the market.
And again, if Chicago loses to England, I'm bumping them into the you're cooked sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But Dallas, because I think McCarthy is probably getting fired. Obviously, the Giants, they don't even have a reason to win. They need a quarterback.
You got the Germany teams in there this weekend.
Right, exactly. Saints.
Yep.
And then Carolina.
Yep.
Carolina might give Chicago the first overall pick in the second round because Chicago, in that trade they got for Caleb Williams, they also got Carolina's second round pick this year. So the Bears could end up with the first pick in the second round next year. So.
All right, those are Jim Rutledge of Jim, Matt, and Molly's tiers of NFC teams at the midpoint of the NFL season. So Detroit is alone on Tier 1. The Packers among a slew of teams that have a chance to compete with Detroit in the NFC Championship game. According to Jim, that's very kind of you to put the Packers on that platform. I thought maybe you would bump them one lower.
No, I'm not. Again, it's, you know, Homer always says, and you can hear him obviously on ESPN Milwaukee, he's a homer, not an idiot. I might be a Bears fan. I'm not an idiot. My old, like the Packers, it's like most people, oh, Packers are top five. Jordan Love's top five. Like, hey, Jordan Love's like the eighth best quarterback. Right now, the Packers are like the ninth best team in the NFL. Like, that's all. I'm not like insane. I'm just saying that like I'm not swimming in the green and gold pool. Why it's gold and green is beyond me. like everyone else.
Yikes. I do like the amendment to the list of putting the Vikings on tier 2.5 and the Bears on tier 3.5 in between. I kind of like the amendment there.
Yeah.
A little fluctuation for both of those other NFC North rivals. I enjoy that. So, all right, Jim Rutledge's tiers of NFC teams. Share your thoughts on the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line, as well as on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. 844-770-3776. Any amendments to Jim Rutledge's tiers of NFC teams? We'll review that as we continue on here on Wilde and Tausch. It's Jesse and Jim today with Jason and Tausch both off. They'll be back after the Packers and Badgers bye on Monday. Coming up next, we'll draw our trivia winner, and Riley Yauch takes over the program. Whoa, Riley, straight ahead on Wilde and Tausch. I'm on Wilde and Tausch, ESPN Wisconsin, Wisconsin On Demand, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Wilde and Tausch back on Monday. Both of the fellas, a much-deserved day off today as we head into the Packers and Badgers bye weekend. I'm actually changing my... I said I enjoyed that both teams are off this weekend. I'm actually changing my mind on that. I'm a little bummed. I wish the Packers were playing. I don't mind the Badgers being off. They could use a week off and kind of get some things figured out. Like, that was... it was tough last week to watch on Saturday night. Badger volleyball taking center stage on NBC tomorrow afternoon against Penn State. Top 10 showdown at the Fieldhouse. That'll be fun to watch. Red out for those who are going.
So that'll be four consecutive weeks of some Badgers team being in primetime on NBC then.
Yeah, with the Badgers playing Oregon next week, for sure. Nice observation, Riley.
Wild.
Hopefully we'll get more astute stuff like that coming up here when we get to... Oh, nope. Sorry, he's not ready. Poor guy. Panic face. You got to draw a trivia winner.
Yeah, I do.
Let's do it.
Alrighty. Well,
I thought you might let Jim loves trivia so much. I thought you might let Jim do it.
Should I bring in the ice cream helmet to you? And
my hate of trivia comes from bartending days where people would come into Damon's and Mequon, where I bartended and waited tables, and sit there and play a stupid trivia game all day and then not tip appropriately.
Okay, that's fair.
Was that the one where it was like the little blue console?
Yeah,
you would have to hand out.
Look, that's fine. Just know that table should turn over every 45 minutes. So for every 45 minutes there, you should be adding 10% to your tip.
Okay.
Otherwise, you are just literally screwing someone over because you sit there all day and then you go with a $40 bill and $8 tip. Great. Thanks. How about you just wait on yourself?
Whoever texted at the start of the show asking for a good Rutledge rant today, there you go. You got
it
before show's end.
I will keep that in mind. I've drawn trivia.
It's also, I don't like wrestling. Also, bad tippers would sit there all day. Like, you'd have football all day, and then wrestling would be on at night. They'd put it at Damon's, and, like, they'd get the pay-per-view. And they get these big tables of all these nerds that would be there to watch wrestling. And then they'd leave you a nerd-type tip. So mad.
Okay. I will keep that in mind when it comes to tipping
in the
future.
Tip well when you're a wrestling fan and a trivia player is the message here from Jim.
Yeah, break the stereotype.
I have drawn for trivia. The winner for this week is Tim in Madison. Congratulations.
Nice job, Tim. Big win for Tim earlier this week. Sorry to Mike in Oak Creek. Didn't keep his winning day going, although he had a nice morning at Pottawatomie, evidently.
Unfortunately not.
Riley, the floor is yours. Let's get to Whoa, Riley.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
Alrighty, so we'll start with something non-sports related. I was at my aunt and uncle's house last night, and they already have their entire house decorated for Christmas. It is November 8th.
Yep.
When is too early? Are they early on decorating for Christmas? And second, if so, when is it appropriate to start decorating for Christmas?
So, Becca and I are hosting our family Thanksgiving, which is the aunts and uncles, the cousins, all the extended family coming over. We're doing that for the first time. We get the big holiday with the big meal and the turkey and all that stuff on Thanksgiving Day this year. Well-timed with a Packers home game and then a Badgers home game at 11 a.m. the next day. Really plan that one out well. So we will not put up the holiday decor for the Christmas and whatnot until after Thanksgiving because we feel like the house has to be adequately dressed, let's say, for that holiday because we're hosting it. Like you can't have Thanksgiving and be like, there's the Christmas tree or there's the lights up on the roof. Like, what are we doing?
I get what you're saying, but like, what is Thanksgiving motif? Is what, fall? Like, it's just like orange and brown.
Orange leaves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got like, the decorative, kitchen towels, so, bathroom towels.
I get what you're saying. Okay, so you just basically have stuff that either you or
Then obviously the tree is the big thing around Christmas time.
Right, but my point is that to me, Thanksgiving is the unofficial start of it's okay to celebrate Christmas. And so if you're going to do it, if you're going to host, I actually would allow, let's just lean into it because isn't it kind of like on the ride home from Thanksgiving, you fire up the Christmas music and you get in a Christmas mood. So I would say that anything before Thanksgiving is too early. And then also you got to have the tree and all that stuff out like New Year's.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to leave it out. I'd say January 2nd, anytime January 2nd. Like if you get to the start of the NFL playoffs, it's too long. Can't go to the start of the playoffs and still have the tree up.
Okay, but I think that's a fair range. Typically, my family, we'd get our tree the day after Thanksgiving and then leave it up first week in January. Yeah. It'd be gone. And usually, it'd die since it's a real tree. It'd be dead by then.
And so, my wife's birthday is usually right around Thanksgiving. It's 25th, so we always go get a tree during that window and go get it.
That's the last 2 years since we moved into our home. I've always gone up on the roof and put the lights up on the day after Thanksgiving. I don't know if that'll be the case this year. Might actually do it this weekend while we got the Packers and Badgers on a bye. Might be
and
nice,
it's still warm.
Nice weekend to put it up. Yeah, not worry about having slipping off or anything like that. So yeah. We do have a friend who has, like, she put the full tree, like, November 1st. She had the tree up in her apartment and all the lights and the candles and all that stuff. Yep. That's crazy.
I'm not doing outdoor lights. I've told the family not going to happen. I said,
You retired from outdoor lights?
Not? We'll do, like, a little bit. One, they complained all the time. And then two, it's mainly like,
that's fair.
Like, oh, you didn't put them upright. Well, go ahead, have at it. But two, it was more of, like, I'm not, like, we have a two-story house. Dad's not risking anything at all to go changing out the lights. So, is what it is. And I'm not paying someone to do it. So, no, I mean, we have some like bush lights. You throw those. Like,
Like on top of the lights. Yeah.
And then I think we've bought
shrubbery.
Like,
it's a good compromise.
Rando. I also very anti the big inflatable things.
Oh yeah.
Like anti snowman or
it just
Santa.
It screams trailer park. So, I'm not really in on that
well,
either.
Well, I like one. There's one that I asked for, and my mom wouldn't get it for me for Christmas many years ago when I lived in an apartment. I said, there's only one Christmas decoration I want. It's a giant, and I think, I don't know what store they sold it at, but it was a giant T-Rex dressed in a Santa costume. I'm like, that's what I want on my balcony at my apartment. I just want this giant thing. It barely fits there. That's what I wanted.
There was a cool blue. I do like Bluey, and there was a cool Bluey one, but again, inflatable. And
I've seen the Bluey ones.
Yeah. It's just not, again, I'm not bah humbug, but this is all really... Whatever they want, my family, my girls, my wife want to do, I'll do, and I'll set up to a point outside.
I just like giving Thanksgiving its day. You know, like Thanksgiving gets overlooked. Mm-hmm. Everyone's already on to, all the stores are on to the holidays, and Christmas. Give Thanksgiving its day. It's one of the best holidays.
Okay, that's a take in of itself, but.
Well, it's the only holiday that's specifically designed for a 4-day weekend, no matter what. Everything else, you get Memorial Day, Labor Day, 3-day weekends. You can take extra vacation days if you want, but many offices and businesses will grant not only Thanksgiving, but the day after Thanksgiving is a day off, too. Mm-hmm. And then you get it's a built-in 4-day weekend.
That's true.
Football every day.
What about Christmas? If you're not working in sports where you have to work near or on holidays, I feel like typically people get a few days off for Christmas.
Yeah, like this year, Christmas is a Wednesday this year. So those who get the day off for Christmas, like you're going to get Wednesday. Maybe your office gives you Tuesday, but then you got to take your own day off Thursday if you're getting back at it. So it's the only every year built-in 4-day weekend, Thanksgiving. Underrated.
Okay, fair enough.
Will Riley. Nelly.
Okay, back to sports. So Zach Taylor, the head coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, got a lot of flack yesterday after a failed two-point conversion led to the 35-34 loss to the Baltimore Ravens. And this was after Buccaneers head coach Todd Bowles got a ton of flack for not going for two points. And then the Chiefs won the coin toss, marched right down the field, won the game. So if you guys are in that situation, you're down a point, do you take the extra point, go to OT, or do you go for two and try to end it?
The bigger issue they made was that they scored too early. They left a little too much time there.
Chase Brown, rookie mistake, ran out of bounds, should have stayed in.
Yeah, because they would have, because the Chiefs had a chance to get the points at the end of the half, or at the end of the game there. If I'm Tampa, and you need to win that game, and the Chiefs don't lose, and you're on the road, you go for two.
I think it's a very easy formula. If you, and you can't say this if you're the head coach, but you can think it. If you think you're the better team, you play to overtime and you feel like you got this and your defense will go out there and get a stop. Because that's the other component of NFL overtime is you might need to get a stop without getting the ball back. So otherwise you're going to lose and your offense will never see the field. So if you feel like you have a good defense that can get you a stop or at least hold the other team to a field goal, go ahead and play to overtime if you feel like you're the better team. If you feel like, wow, we kind of backdoored our way into having a chance to tie this game and win it, and we're thankful to be in this position, go for two and win the game. And most of the time, if you're on the road, go for two and try to win the game. I don't think you want to leave it up to chance if you're the home, if you're the road team. Home team, you got the atmosphere, the fans are going to be into it, a tight game. There's a little component of it there. On the road, probably going for two if I'm the road team. Probably 80-90% of the time.
Yeah, I really didn't understand why people were coming down on Zach Taylor so hard because the Ravens had scored 4 touchdowns in a row on 4 consecutive drives. That defense, if they lost the coin toss, was probably not going to get a stop. I think just fans going both ways. You're a genius if it works, and you're stupid if it doesn't. Either way, it's frustrating to see.
Whoa, Riley.
Whoa, Nelly.
All righty.
Last one?
Last one I got for you. Real simple. I had a bagel for breakfast this morning. You guys, sweet or savory breakfast people?
Sweet. I'm all sweet.
Like a cinnamon roll, cinnamon toast crunch.
Like a Pop-Tart.
Oh, I do like Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, a lot of anything sweet. When we're up north, like over the summer, maybe this is why I worked with a great team at Madison Weight Loss. When we're up north, like having a cup of coffee and like a leftover like dessert bar or some kind of bar that's got like a cookie or
nice
brownie kind of thing
cake
to it. Yeah, like not the healthy breakfast by any means, but that's what I like to have in the morning. Not a big breakfast guy.
I'm not a big breakfast guy. I would probably go savory though. Like if we make pancakes or things like that at the house, like I can have my kids out eat me. I buy a ton. It's too sweet. Mm-hmm. And what happens is I'm going to end up hungry later anyways. But like I feel like a pancake with those bread sort of sweet things, French toast, you eat one, a cinnamon roll, you get really full, and then you're hungry because it's obviously just empty calories. Yeah. You're hungry later. So give me some bacon and a cup. Like I'm basically like a 75-year-old farmer. Just give me bacon and coffee. And you know what? I do every once in a while we get from Costco like the cinnamon bread with some butter on it.
Yep.
Like that's my, I'm good with that breakfast. Now, what do I normally eat? Yogurt and a granola bar and coffee. But yep. I had my choice to be one of those things.
That's it for Will Riley. Thank you, Riley. Oh, great job today.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
That's it for Will Riley. We'll wrap up the show as we do every Friday. Even though there's no Jason and no Tausch, it's still Feel Good Friday on Wildy and Tausch. That's coming up next on Wildy and Tausch.
Like I should.
Even though there's no Jason Wildy and no Mark Tauscher on today's show, we're still wrapping it up the way we always do with Feel Good Friday on Wildy and Tausch, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. Jesse Nelson, Jim Rutledge, your cousin subs of the day. Announced yesterday, of course, ESPN Wisconsin, 620 WTMJ, your home for Wisconsin Badgers volleyball. Big match tonight against Iowa, 6 o'clock, and then tomorrow, number 7 Wisconsin, number 3 Penn State, 2:30, first serve at the Fieldhouse. You'll want to get to see those or listen to them on our airwaves, but also you'll want to find out how you can get to the Wednesday, November 20th match, Wisconsin-Minnesota, not only a top 25 matchup. Wisconsin got beat by Minnesota earlier this year, but it is the silent set match announced yesterday by Wisconsin Volleyball, supporting Chasing Greatness, a nonprofit organization with the goal of providing funding and resources to support the hard of hearing community. For the first 8 points, no one in the field house will make a sound. Everyone will stay silent for the first 8 Wisconsin points. And then once they get to 8, the whole place will erupt. It's going to be an amazing environment and atmosphere to take that all in for the silent set night, November 20th. Get your tickets now at the Fieldhouse for Wisconsin and Minnesota. Jim?
Mine is a feel-good story that started bad. Life savings of an entire small town recovered from the depths of a crypto scam thanks to the FBI. So the FBI saved a town in Wichita and got their money back because the bank messed up, and I don't know why you're messing with cryptocurrency, but the bank invested money. The bank was put into a receivership. That means the FDIC took it over, but the FBI was able to get that money back from the Cayman Islands and save this small town from one of the dumbest things I've ever heard a bank manager do and get involved in cryptocurrency. So thank God that the FBI saved this small town in Wichita from a crypto scam, and they got all their money back because that was money for retirement, funds for elder care, university funds. Like, it was a lot. Obviously, if you have your money in the bank and your stupid bank manager invests in crypto and you lose it all, thanks to the FBI for getting it back for them. That's still good, right? Like, imagine that feeling of getting all that money back and being saved by the FBI.
You don't often hear shout out to the FBI, especially.
Save the day.
So shout out to the FBI.
Save the day.
A shout out to Jim Rutledge. Thank you for being part of the show today, Jim. We appreciate it, and we'll see you this afternoon on Jim, Matt, and Molly from 5:30 today because of Badger volleyball.
Yep.
Looking forward to it. Thanks to Riley Out. Thanks to Jim Rutledge. Thanks to Chris Carlin. Thanks to Jason Wildy for joining his own show, and thanks, of course, to you for coming along. As Jason always says, have a great bye week. Take care. Be good.